This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. This one is kind of a tough one to talk about, but it's out there and we think it's important that we bring some attention to it. And from Adapt Integrated Healthcare Crisis Team Manager Doug Walton, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
So, of course, you're well known for being retired from the Roseburg Police Department. How long have you been at Adapt?
I started the day after I retired.
You didn't even take a vacation.
Well, I had that night off.
You really didn't take a vacation.
No.
You went from a very long law enforcement career to working at Adapt the next day. Have you taken a vacation since?
Sure.
I think you get the point here that he is known for working pretty hard at this. What was it about Adapt? I mean, you were already kind of involved with some of the interaction between the police agencies and Adapt. It sounded like a pretty natural transition for you.
That's pretty much what it was just it's a natural extension of what I had been doing for several years prior to that.
So there's been a big uptick in suicides in the county recently. Obviously, I see that in data that I come across with what you do at Adapt. The other folks there, they're well aware of it. What kinds of things are you seeing? Is there any idea what's causing all this?
Well, holidays and surprisingly enough, springtime are some of our largest times where folks will die by suicide. Over the winter time frames, their folks, especially if they have seasonal affective disorder, may feel low, have low energy. But as the sun starts coming out, they feel more energy, and sometimes they just move forward with their act.
So, I mean, a lot of people are struggling these days. How should somebody know when it's time to seek assistance?
Well, I think the biggest one, really is just you have to recognize that stress is a natural reaction to a person's body, and it activates your fight or flight response. You can have acute stress, which is a very short period of time, like if you're going for a job interview or maybe you're at getting married. It's a very short period of time, but there could be episodic acute stress, which means you have these little things throughout your life, or you can have chronic stress. And being able to manage your stress is probably going to be your biggest thing to help avoid depression, anxiety, things along those lines that can lead to suicide.
Well, and sometimes, I mean, stress can be, I suppose, maybe not always defined this way, but stress sometimes is good situations too. There's just a lot going on, a lot to them.
Right. So you can have your eustress, which you get from like working out or perform. It helps you perform better. That's where the fight or flight comes in, helps you prepare for a fight, whether that could be a good or a bad thing.
So when people are going through this situation, where do they turn first? I mean, a lot of people that are in it, I don't think even realize how much, sometimes those thoughts just come along and they're really not sure what to do.
Sure. I think that being aware of your surroundings, being aware of things that can happen in people's lives are what is going to affect more frequently. So there are really three things that cause a surge in suicidal activity, and that is the individual, social, and environmental contributions to a person. And that could be depression, anxiety, they may have a substance use disorder, they may have a different mental health diagnosis, trauma, anniversaries of traumatic events, or some individuals. Social factors are loneliness, breakups or divorce, cyberbullying or bullying, especially in youths, childhood abuse, domestic violence, and environmental factors such as financial hardship, economic stress, chronic illness, stigma, weather changes, things along those lines. And if you are more aware of any of these things that are happening or have happened in your life, then you can try to work on preventing that. But if you're feeling suicidal, the first thing you should do is talk to somebody about it. There's a stigma in our society that talking about suicide is a bad thing. It is not. It's very important that we talk about suicide. And there's a myth that people think that if they ask somebody, "Are you thinking about killing yourself?" that will cause them to do that act. That is wrong.
So they're obviously already thinking about it if they're at that point.
That's correct.
And as somebody deals with that situation, now you mentioned the cyberbullying and things like that. So much of people's lives, whether it's younger people or people in their 20s or even folks going up over the decades, so much of life is tied to online. Do people kind of sometimes lose track of what's really happening around them and just what they're doing on whatever social media sites they're on?
I would have to, anecdotally, I'd have to say yes, that's correct. Unfortunately, when you can sit and be completely anonymous, you can tell anybody anything that you feel like telling them, whether it's truth or not. There's no risk of a physical harm. I remember growing up on the playgrounds, and if you called somebody a name to their face, you might get punched in the face. So you just didn't do that. But the bullying online, there's really not much immediate repercussions that can occur.
And yet sometimes if somebody, I would say, overreacts maybe to a particular comment or social media post and posts something without thinking about it, that can start this long thing that suddenly they realize everybody's mad at them because they said something they probably shouldn't have said.
Absolutely. And in that particular case, it should just be like any other time where apologize. But watch what you say.
Yeah, no, and that that can really go sideways. When you're looking at this, for what we've seen recently, has the suicide uptick, has it been in any particular age group, or has it been kind of across the board?
No, we've actually had 5 this year, and there doesn't seem to be any link to them. The age demographics, all of the demographics that you look at, they're kind of all over the place. There's not one specific thing.
And probably, and obviously some of this gets into stuff that you can't always talk about due to HIPAA and everything that goes in with that. But probably folks have been, dealing with tough times for a long time. I would think, do people ever just out of left field move forward with that thought? Or does it tend to be something they've thought about for quite a while?
You know, I would say that the person who just wakes up one day, says, "I'm going to kill myself," and does it, that is probably such a negligible number. Most often the person will have signs or symptoms. They themselves will know that they're feeling a certain way. Folks around them will probably notice some changes to their behaviors, their personality, their physical changes. There's generally something that folks will notice. Now, they may not key into it, or the other part is they may see something. They just may not know how to bring the topic up.
Yeah, and for people involved with folks that are struggling, and they spot signs, what's their role? Because a lot of times people think, well, he's having a bad day, I'll just let him work it out, or, they don't want to butt in too much to somebody's privacy.
No, that's, totally understandable. And there's going to be a certain point where someone may realize that this appears to be impacting the person's daily life. And really the first thing that they should be doing is just be empathetic and non-judgmental. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has things that are going on in their lives. So give them a little bit of grace of that and just talk with them. Ask some open-ended questions, how are you doing? That's a very open-ended question. Well, I'm good. Okay, well, tell me about that. What is good? Ask, kind of probe a little bit. Be direct. But you can be gentle with it. You can have the kindness in there. If you don't want to just flat say, "Are you thinking about killing yourself?" you can approach it of how are you feeling? I've noticed these things about you. I've noticed that it looks like you've been a little low lately. You've been kind of despondent. You've been, you know, hiding over in your corner. Is there anything going on? Are you thinking of hurting yourself? That's a good, less direct way of asking somebody if they're going to kill themselves. But it does open the door without just flinging it open and jumping in. You can validate their feelings, acknowledging pain and emotions that they're experiencing, that it's okay to experience pain. Avoid trying to offer any solutions or advice other than, you know, if you're seeing something and you're concerned about their well-being, you could suggest that they maybe need to talk to somebody. Offer resources and help. If they are in an immediate danger, you can remove the dangers. If they are saying that I'm thinking about shooting myself, you could remove the firearm from their home or ask them, hey, could I just put this firearm at my house and my safe until you're feeling a little better? You know, a lot of folks don't like to feel like they're having their guns taken away from them. But just somewhere temporarily safe, or even could just lock it up in a safe with the combo already locked, so that way that there's a little bit of time between the thought and an action. Maintain confidentiality. Check in with them. You can educate yourself. There's plenty of places on the internet to go look to learn about it. And at the same time, take care of yourself. Because if you have a friend, family member going through something like this, it can affect you as well.
All right, we're going to have more when we come back. Doug Walton with us from Adapt Integrated Healthcare. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1247, and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. David Littlejohn and True Wealth Radio on the way at 4. From Adapt Integrated Healthcare, Crisis Team Manager Doug Walton, retired from the Roseburg Police Department. We're talking about the uptick in suicides that have taken place recently and how to deal with it. If you're struggling or if those around you are struggling, I guess what about coping mechanisms for stress and depression? What would you suggest?
Self-care, I believe, is the first step towards resiliency. And being resilient is what's going to help as your stressors come along. They're going to help you deal with those a little bit better. The first one's get physical activity. Being even just a little bit of physical activity throughout the day is going to have a huge impact on your physical well-being. Get good, consistent sleep, 6 to 8 hours a night. Eat healthy foods. Laugh and smile. Do things that you enjoy that make you feel better. Avoid unhealthy habits using illicit substances, alcohol, you know, bad food for you. You can talk with your primary care physician, or you can talk to a therapist about some kind of very specific coping mechanisms if it gets that much further.
Yeah, and talk about the role of therapy, medication, also support groups.
Sure. Therapies to help individuals improve their mental and emotional well-being by exploring thoughts and feelings, their behaviors, learning, and developing coping strategies that will help foster resilience. Mental illness has a similar treatment to physical illness or an injury. Sometimes medications and physical therapy is what it's going to take to restore a person back to their healthy well-being. Then the same thing is it may just be a short period of time. Or it may be something that you have to use for a long time. Arthritis is an example where medications are sometimes needed to relieve pain. It's a pain reliever, or it's a type of medication that will overall reduce inflammation, prevent your body from having these little attacks, and then that will restore your movement and your ability to remain pain-free. Support groups are extremely important, because it helps folks remember they are not alone. And it's very hard for someone like me, if I've never been through a particular circumstance before, I don't know what the person has felt. I don't know what they've experienced. So for me to try to help them move past whatever's going on, I may not be successful as someone who actually had a lived experience, which is why we have peer support specialists at ADAPT.
What about, does this ever subject ever get pushed out there because people are dealing with grief about other situations?
Sure, yeah. And grief is absolutely natural. It's an often overwhelming experience to a loss. It can manifest in different kinds of ways. Emotionally, you have our five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But it can also manifest physically, affecting sleep, appetite, concentration, much like just regular stress. There's nothing wrong with grief, but if someone's experiencing consistent grief for more than 12 months, they should go see a professional, because that is going to have some very serious impacts on their physical and psychological well-being.
Now, if you're an employer or, you know, in upper management at a large organization or whatever, are there ever events or things that are held for workplaces or for leaders to kind of get some training so they can, you know, not be nosy, but still keep track of their employees' well-being?
Yeah, there's several different companies all around the world. There's many companies around the world. But here locally, the Douglas Education School District and ADAPT host different kinds of trainings. One's called QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer. It's a four-hour-long class about how to talk to somebody about suicide. There's an assist suicide intervention training. It's 2 days, and it's pretty it's a lot. There's mental health first aid, which is something that can be taught as a classroom, like up to 30 people, and it's one day where somebody comes in and just covers very basics. Here's what mental illness is. Here's some examples of each mental illness, some of the characteristics they're going to see, things that folks may do, and some very quick suggestions on what you can do if you believe somebody is suicidal. It's more of to recognize, kind of probe a little bit, and then try to get that person to a professional.
Now, what about, you know, hotlines or things like that? What's available?
Yeah, 988 is probably the most underused that I keep thinking. There's a lot of folks that are still calling 911 or the police, which is fine if you need it and that's what's available, that's what's on in your memory, use it. But 988 is there specifically for suicide intervention. You can either call, you can text their crisis line, or you can go on an online chat at 988lifeline.org. ADAPT has a 24-hour service. You can either call the business line, there's a crisis number, or if you want somebody to come out to your house, you can call for mobile crisis by calling Douglas County Dispatch, just like you would call the police. Explain to them that you're having a mental health crisis, mental health problem, or one of your loved ones is, so that way the dispatcher can get the right resource to you. At the same time, so ADAPT has a crisis team within our building. If you just come down to ADAPT, somebody will be able to talk to you. We have gun medication lockboxes. There's Lines for Life online. I mean, you can literally just Google suicide prevention and a whole slew of things are going to come up. The Oregon Health Authority has a behavioral health division, and they have a list of resources that's longer than my arm. The Oregon Suicide Prevention.org, as well as the VA, the Veterans Administration, has suicide prevention folks, and NAMI, who's, I think, a very underutilized program here in our county to help support those folks who have loved ones with mental illness.
So it seems like what you're involved in is pretty tough work.
It can be, but it's rewarding.
How do you, for those that you work with, how do you guys monitor your own mental health?
We check in with each other, especially after there's been some kind of a critical incident, something that may be traumatic. And, you know, what's traumatic to one person may not be traumatic to another. We all have our own self-help, our own self-care that we do. Mine's weed eating. I love going out and just putting on my headphones and
I'll
weed
give eating. You an address for a yard. So. Wow. Well, that's good information this afternoon. And again, the first step you said for a lot of people may be that 988 line, right?
So 988, yeah. And if you want really just to talk with a friend, family member, grab a stranger, just tell somebody that this is how you're feeling to get yourself help.
All right, Doug Walton from ADAPT, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240. KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are